We do thank you for your word today. Thank you for again for every person here. Lord, we're not here, none of us, by chance or by accident, but we're here by your divine guidance and leading in our lives, and we know that, and we're grateful for that. And we thank you that you love us even more than we can comprehend, even more than we realize. And so, Father, we just stop right now, and we just acknowledge that, and we just meditate on that reality, on that truth of your great love for us. And we thank you, Father, that your word says that you're working all things together for good, for those who love you. That's us, Lord. We love you. And I thank you that you love us and you're working out your good plan in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your good hand upon each one of us, upon our families, upon our lives, Father God. And I thank you today, Lord. We just lay aside every care. We lay aside every distraction. And we just want to be like Mary who sat at your feet, Jesus, and heard your word. And I thank you, Lord, that this word today will nourish us. This word today will strengthen us. This word today will fortify us to do your will and for your light to shine through us in a greater way. We thank you for that today, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. Ephesians 2. And verse number 1, the title of the message today is, what am I here for? What am I here for? I don't mean, what am I here for in church? I mean, what am I here on this earth for? What am I here for? What are you here for? We're going to find out this morning. The Bible tells us what we're here for. Did you know that? Amen? And you're going to know when you leave today, you're going to know what you're here for. Amen? Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, but God. Our whole destiny, our whole life, our whole condition changes on that phrase right there, but God. Amen. But God. We were by nature children of wrath. We were conducting ourselves in the lust of our flesh. We were in darkness. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God. Can somebody say, but God with me this morning? But God. What does it say? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So again, our whole condition, our whole destiny, our whole future changed on but God. Hallelujah. It changed dramatically. It changed from being dead in our sins. It changed from being children of wrath by our nature. It changed from us fulfilling the lust of our flesh and the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It changed from that to being made alive together with Christ. It changed to being raised up together with him. It changed to being made to sit together in heavenly places with him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And it was all because of him, because of his mercy. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, he's rich in mercy. Amen. The Bible says his anger is but for a moment, but his favor, his mercy lasts a lifetime. Yes, he can have anger and wrath, but what he's rich in is mercy. I said, what he's rich in is mercy. Amen.
Amen.
Because of his great love with which he loved us. Notice that verse doesn't say, and we're in verse number 4 there, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, Our whole destiny changed on that. Our destiny didn't change. It doesn't read this way, but sometimes in our religious thinking, we think it reads this way. All right, let me read it to you the way we sometimes think in our religious mind. But you, instead of but God, we say, but you, because you were so noble and because of your great love with which you loved God. It doesn't say that. Amen? Should we love God? Absolutely. But us, we didn't initiate this, is my point. Every other religion in the world is man trying to reach up and get to God. But Christianity, reality, is God reaching down to man. God reaching down to us. The Bible says we were dead. He says you were dead in your trespasses and sins. A dead man, a dead person, is incapable of helping himself. Isn't that right? Amen. We couldn't help ourselves. We couldn't change our condition. We couldn't make ourselves good enough to get to God. We were incapable. We were dead. A dead person can't do anything. A dead person is totally helpless. Isn't that right? We were dead in our sins, incapable of helping ourselves, but God. Amen. He turned us around. Praise God. And then it says, he's again in verse five, it says, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. So he made us, everybody say, he made me alive. Amen. Verse 6, it says, he raised us up together. Raised us up, notice it says, together with Christ. Yes. We're made alive together with Christ. Not just made alive, but made alive together with Christ. In other words, the same power that raised, in fact, the Bible says this, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. That's what we were made alive with. We weren't made alive with some second-rate, you know, off-brand, knockoff resurrection power. We were made alive with the genuine stuff. We were made alive with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Made alive together with Christ and raised us up together. When God raised up Jesus, he raised up you. Amen. 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 Glory to God. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When God gave Jesus authority, that's what that's talking about. He gave you the same authority. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're shouting this morning, I'm telling you. Amen. Not only did he do that, verse 7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, they used to call, does anybody remember, maybe you still do, but they used to call a movie theater, they used to call it what? The show. Anybody know that? Okay, a couple of you are admitting, you know, honest enough to admit that you're old enough to know that. In fact, there was a movie theater in Gainesville called The Show. Does anybody know about that? Is anybody from around here? It was called, the theater was called The Show. Well, that's what people used to call it. They used to call it The Show. Well, of course, that came from, you know, before movies, there was plays, and then Broadway is called a Broadway show, right? Okay, and so people called movies The Show. And so there was a Christian, this is years ago, a Christian lady, and her neighbor, she had an unsaved neighbor, and he would always just make fun of her and you know, for being a Christian and ridicule her and all of that. And she's getting ready for church one day, and he says, oh, you know, you're so stupid going down there to that church. That's no good. She says, no. She said, I'm going to the show. He said, the show, and she was Pentecostal, and back in those days, Pentecostal folks didn't believe in going to the movies. And he thought, oh, what's going on here? This lady's, you know, she's sanctified. She doesn't believe in going to the show. She doesn't believe in, what do you mean you're going to the show? Oh, yeah, I'm going to the show, she said. The show, what do you mean? She said, well, I read in the Bible in Ephesians, here in Ephesians chapter 2, and it says, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. I'm going to that show. Amen. So God's taking us to the show, everybody. He's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Amen. And that's the greatest show on earth. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Amen. And then he gets down here and says in verse 8, he says, For by grace, everybody say by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So all of this is by God's grace, isn't it? We didn't earn it. It's by God's grace. That's God's part. Do we have a part in it? Do we have a part to play? Yes, we do. Our part is through faith. By grace you've been saved. That's God's part. Through faith, that's our part. Amen? Amen. God gives us the faith, but then we still have to exercise it. We still have to choose to believe. Amen? Amen. And so that's our part. And then he says in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." You were born one time. God created you and he knit you together in your mother's womb when you were born. But then when you got born again, you were created in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You were made new. You became a new creation. And you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. What are we talking about today? What am I here for? What am I here for? You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen. The New Living Translation, if you could put that one up there, Royal. Look at this. I love this. "For we are God's masterpiece." Amen. That's what workmanship means. When it says we are God's workmanship, I thought I would have gotten at least one amen under masterpiece. You're God's masterpiece. Amen. Amen. When you think, I shouldn't have such an inflated ego as that to do this. But when you look in the mirror in the morning, you ought to say, there's God's masterpiece. Amen. Amen. Well, why not? That's what God says. Yep. Amen. Yes. You are God's masterpiece. Amen. That's what workmanship means. It means masterpiece. Doesn't mean God just said, okay, here's another one. Stamp, cookie cutter. Every one of us is God's masterpiece. Amen. Every one of us is God's unique creation. Amen. 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 He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Amen. Now again, the world and religion has it backwards. The world and religion says this. It's do good works. I'm going to do good works so that God will accept me and let me into heaven if my good works outweigh my bad works. And we say, Pastor, no, we know that's not true. We know that that's not true up here, but sometimes we still, even after we're saved, we still try to live that way. Yeah. Yep. Amen? If my good works outnumber my bad works, then maybe God will heal me. If my good works outnumber my bad works, then maybe God will prosper. And I'm not advocating at all for doing bad works. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying it doesn't work that way. I'm saying that the good works flow out of a heart that's been made new. Good works flow out of a person that's been recreated. The good works don't qualify us for anything. It's something that flow out of us, amen, for us to be a blessing to others, but not in order to qualify us for God to do anything for us. Amen. That's all by grace. Amen. Are you there this morning? Yes. Amen? Yes. Here's the reality. The truth is this. I was dead, and you were dead. We were incapable of doing anything to save ourselves. But God, because of His mercy, because of His great love for us, He made me alive. He created me anew in Christ. And now I can do those good works, not to get to heaven, not to earn salvation, but to reveal the heart of God to other people. Amen. That's what it's for. That's what it's about. So number one, write this down. Say this. Say, I am here for good works. And if you're taking notes, then write that down. That's point number one today. I'm here for good works. We're answering the question, what am I here for? I'm here for good works. Amen. The word good in the Greek is agathos. It means good in character and beneficial in effect. Good in character and beneficial in effect. So the good works are works that are good in character and they're beneficial. Amen. We're here for that. We're here to do beneficial things. Amen. And the word works is the same word that's used in the gospel to describe the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus said, I must work the works of Him who sent me. I must work the works of Him who sent me. Same Greek word there for works that says we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. The Message Bible of Ephesians 2:10 says it this way. It says he creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. Amen. See, that's important to understand that. We get to join God in the work he does. Amen. Amen. This enterprise is God and sons. This enterprise is God and sons and daughters. Sons in the generic sense. God and family. Amen. It's the family business. And he invites us. He's created us to join in the family business. Amen. To join him, he creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. Amen. All right. We need to wake up to what our purpose is. We need to wake up to what he's called us to do. We need to wake up to what we're here for and get busy joining him and doing working with him, joining him in his work and doing what he's prepared for us to do. Amen. So I'm here for good works. We join God in the work that he does, and that concurs with 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. In the King James, it says, "For we are laborers together with." Everybody say, "together with." Amen. We are laborers together with God. Amen. We get to join with him. So what are some of those good works? We could talk all day about them, really. And remember, the good works are not to earn us anything, but the good works are to flow out of us as we yield to this new life in Jesus. These good works ought to just flow out of us. They ought to come out of us. And so what are some of these good works? Well, number one, doing the works of Jesus. Doing the works of Jesus. Jesus said, "The works that I do," what? "Shall you do also." John 14, 12. "The works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father." So we can do the works of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Acts 10, 38 says he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How exciting. How great is that? We get to join our Heavenly Father. We get to join the Lord Jesus in doing the works that he did. When we talk about that, we've been authorized to do that. Through the name of Jesus, we've been authorized to do that and empowered to do that. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do the works of Jesus. Amen? Praise God. In fact, declare that after. Say, I do the works of Jesus. The works Jesus did, I do also. Because I believe. Jesus said, the works that he did, I would do also. Hallelujah. Amen. And when I think about good works, I think about on a national scale or a global scale, I think about the first thing that comes to my mind is Samaritan's Purse. You know about Samaritan's Purse? I love their slogan. Their slogan is "Helping in Jesus' Name." And you know what they do? Samaritan's Purse mobilizes support and aid. Not only in our nation, but around the world, whenever there's a natural disaster, Samaritan's Purse is on the scene. They have a great network of professionals in the medical field and all kinds of support. And then they just get regular people that can come and run a chainsaw and pass out bottles of water and do whatever to help whenever there's a natural disaster. And they're doing that all over the world. It's a wonderful organization. Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, founded it years ago. And it's amazing work that they do today. Of course, part of that, a branch of that, is Operation Christmas Child, and that we're always a part of at Christmas time, putting the shoeboxes together with gifts for the children all around the world. And so, I appreciate the work that Samaritan's Purse does. But honestly, we each one of us can't load up our chainsaw and fill the back of our car with bottled water and ride off to the next disaster every time, right? I mean, some people might be in a position to, but a lot of us in here, just you can't just pick up and do that. You've got jobs, you've got families, you've got different things going on, and where you can't just pick up and do that. And so, what do we when we think about good works then, beyond doing the works of Jesus and beyond Samaritan's Purse? Well, what are we talking about? What does it mean to do these good works? Well, good works begins at home. Thank you. Okay, God's moving. He's moving a little slow this morning, but he's moving. All right. Good works begins at home. If you're a husband, love your wife as Christ loves the church. That's good works. That's the good works that he's talking about here. Amen? If you're a father, provide for your family. Love and care for and guide your children. That's the good works. That's the good works that he's talking about here. If you're a neighbor, you might not can join the Samaritan's Purse team down in, you know, down in Texas to clean up after the hurricane, but maybe your neighbor had a tree fall. Maybe you can go over to your neighbor's house and help him clean up the mess in his yard. Amen? That's the good works. If you're in line at the grocery store and you see that single mother having to put a few items back because she didn't have enough to cover it, you can step up and say, hey, I'll take care of that. I'll cover that. Amen. Amen? That's the good works we're talking about. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen? Amen. And again, these works don't save us. These works don't say, don't give us check marks with God to where he says, okay, I think I'll heal them. They've done 27 good works this year. I think I'll bless them. Now, that doesn't qualify you for anything like that, but it makes the heart of God happy. Amen? Amen? When we do them with pure motives, not to be noticed, not to be recognized. Well, I'm going to go do a good work so I can go get up on the platform and give a testimony so that people will clap for me. No, when we do it with right motives, amen, and then God's love and God's goodness is revealed in the process. Amen. Look at this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, it says, who has saved us and called us. Everybody say, I'm saved. And I'm also called. Amen. You're not just saved, you're called. Amen? Amen. God didn't just save us, he called us. He says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Our works didn't save us. And our works don't qualify us for the calling either. God saved us and he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but what? According to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Amen. I love that verse. I'm saved and I'm called. And you're saved and you're called. Amen. Not according to our works, but according to his purpose, according to his grace. See, you're part of the church. If you're born again, you're part of the church. I'm not talking about membership in City on a Hill Church. I'm not speaking about that right now. I'm talking about the word that the New Testament uses for church, when it talks about the church, of course, in the book of Acts, and then out through the epistles, it talks about the church and talks about churches. The Greek word is ecclesia, and it means the called out ones. The called out ones. That's who we are. We are the called out ones. Hallelujah. We are, and I'm going to show you a scripture that tells us what we're called out of and what we're called into in a moment. But we're God's called out ones. And he has a purpose. God's purpose for the church is his purpose for you. What we see God revealing as his purpose and will for the church, that means that you're part of the church. That means that's your purpose. You following me? Yes. Amen? You get to have a part in it. Praise God. And so the second thing, number one, I am called to good works. Then number two, I am called to demonstrate Satan's defeat. Or I am here. What am I here for? I am here to demonstrate Satan's defeat. Amen. Did you know you were here for that reason? Come on, look at me. Yes. Did you know you were here for that reason? Yes. Well, you need to know it. You need to know it. Write it down. Believe it. I am here to demonstrate Satan's defeat. Say it after me. Say, I'm here. To demonstrate Satan's defeat. Hallelujah. Get happy about that. Amen. Ephesians 3, verse 8 in the New Living, it says, though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures. Whoa, I'm still reading. Again, this guy's a rookie back here. Third string, but he's doing good. All right. God, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Go. All right. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. What is it? Verse 10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church, say, that's me. You're one of the called out ones. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Who is that? And verse 11 says this was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Back to verse 10, it says, we are, the church is to display or to demonstrate or to manifest God's wisdom to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Who is that? Those are demons, Satan, demons, and evil spirits. We've got a purpose here. We've got a job here to display the wisdom of God. What does that mean? Well, Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. He says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Wes, would you bump me up just a little bit? I'm having to raise my voice a little bit, and it's coming out like I'm 16 years or 13 years old, and my voice has changed. Woo! All right, just bring me up just a little bit, just a little bit more if you can. There we go. That's good. I won't have to raise so much here. All right. So the rulers of this age, he says, who are coming to nothing. Next verse, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Paul talked about in Ephesians about this mystery. Same thing here. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Verse 8 says, which none of the rulers of this age knew. See, the rulers of this age are the same rulers and authorities he's talking about in Ephesians that are to learn about the wisdom of God through us, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
That's right.
The devil fell right into God's trap. And if they had known what they thought, they were getting rid of Jesus. And what happened was it worked opposite. They were just multiplying it. They thought they were containing it, and the resurrection was like a nuclear explosion that just scattered radiation everywhere. And that radiation is you and me. There was one Jesus at the time, one Savior, one Jesus that had authority over demons and over evil spirits and could command them to leave and could exercise authority over them. The resurrection just scattered that. Amen. And now every one of us have that same authority that Jesus had over demons and over evil spirits. They had to contend with one. Now they've got to contend with all of us. Oh, if they'd have known that, they never would have crucified the Lord. They would have said, we're going to keep you alive forever, Jesus. We're never going to crucify you. But they fell right into God's plan. Because as it says in Hebrews, only by dying could He break the power of the devil, who held the power of death. Amen? Amen? And He did that. Hallelujah. And so, God's plan is to use us then to demonstrate Satan's defeat. Amen? Jesus, in His resurrection, Jesus stripped Satan and his forces of their authority. Jesus gave that authority to us, and now we're to take that authority and we're to use it. We're to exercise authority over the devil. Amen? When he tries to come against us, we're to exercise authority over the devil when he tries to mess up our nation. Amen? Amen. We're to use that authority wherever we can extend it to. Wherever, you know, you can only use the authority that Jesus gave you in another person's life if they give you permission. Amen. But if another person will give you permission, you can say, let me pray for you in Jesus' name, and we're going to take authority over the devil that's been tormenting you and harassing you. Amen. And the devil has to go.
That's right.
Amen. And the sickness has to leave. Amen? Amen? Praise God. We've got authority to demonstrate Satan's defeat. And we're called. That's what you're here for. You're here. You and I are here to demonstrate Satan's defeat by using the authority that Jesus gave us. Amen?
Amen.
And through the church, through us, Paul wrote in Ephesians, what we just read, that the wisdom of God will be displayed to these rulers and authorities. They'll think, oh man, he was much smarter than us. You know, look at what he's done. We're defeated for sure now. He's authorized all of them. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. All right. Number three, I'm here to reveal the goodness of God. I am here. Say it with me. Say, I am here to reveal the goodness of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who are we? We are the called out ones, right? Of Him who called you out of darkness. So we're called out of darkness. That's what we're called out of. And into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. That's who we are. The New Living Translation says this. I like it. It says, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Amen. That's what we're here for. That's what you're here for. That's what I'm here for. We are to show others the goodness of God. I'm here on this earth to reveal the goodness of God. And so are you. Amen. For He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. God's Word translation says it this way. You were chosen. You were chosen to tell about the excellent qualities of God who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. That's what you're here for. To tell. You were chosen to tell about the excellent qualities of God. Hallelujah. The Message Bible says it this way. But you are the ones. We got the message up there? Okay. But you are the ones chosen by God. Chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people. See, in the Old Testament, they only had a few people that were priests. In the New Testament, we're all priests. Amen. We've been made priests and kings. Jesus has made us priests and kings. Hallelujah. Priestly work means that a priest was to represent the people to God in prayer and intercession, and also to represent God to the people in witness. And that's what we're called to do in the same way. Amen? Amen. Chosen to be a holy people. Look at this. God's instruments to do His work. God's instruments to do His work. Amen. We can't just pray and say, Holy Spirit, go save Africa. Somebody's got to go. God has to have an instrument. I said, God has to have an instrument. And that would be you. I said, that would be you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God's instruments to do His work and speak out for Him. To tell others of the night and day difference He made for you. See, that's what this all, that's what the, when we're here to reveal the goodness of God, it all hinges and it all springs from our personal experience. When we're talking about revealing the goodness of God, it's not just that we get a piece of paper out that has the doctrinal points about the goodness of God and we read them to somebody. It's when people see our lives. And it's when people see and hear the witness of what God has done in us. And you see, if you're experiencing God, and if you're experiencing His goodness in your life, you can't help. Like Peter said in Acts chapter 4, they commanded them not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And Peter, or Acts 4 or 5, I'm not sure which, but someone has said in a certain place, the writer of Hebrews says, so if he's not sure of the reference, then that's okay if I'm not. And so, but in Acts 4 or 5, Peter says, for we cannot help but speak the things that we've seen and heard. Amen. We cannot help but speak. I hope that's your life. I hope we're talking about you, that you can't help but talk about. You know, sometimes if we find it difficult to witness, if we find it difficult to share with others about God, maybe we need to look at our personal experience. Is my personal experience a little bit rusty, a little bit dusty? Am I just kind of coasting, or do I have a fresh experience with God? Am I living out of a fresh experience with Him? And if I am, then I can't help but talk about it. I can't help but share about it. Amen. When you experience God, you want to tell somebody. What God's done in me, the healing that He's brought me through, especially in the past 2.5 years, I don't mind sharing it with anybody. I'm happy to talk about it. I'm happy to tell about it because it's real and it's fresh and it's alive. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's what He's talking about. The night and day difference. The night and day difference that He made for you. From nothing, I like verse 10. From nothing to something. From rejected to accepted. Glory to God. And that's how we reveal. We reveal the goodness of God to people. We're called out of darkness. And we're called to, as He says, to proclaim the praises or to show others the goodness of God. That's what you're here for. They won't see the goodness of God without our witness. But they will see and they can see. And God's counting on our witness to reveal His goodness to those that need to know His goodness. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right, you're here for a reason. And then finally, number 4, you are here, I am here, to be an ambassador of God to the world. Say it after me. Say, I am here to be an ambassador of God to the world. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and read, you can come on back up if you would. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? Do we have ambassadors? As an ambassador, he represents our nation. We have an ambassador in many countries, and I don't know if we have one in every country of the world, but we have them in a lot of countries. And our ambassadors, they represent the United States officially to that country. Amen? And we're God's ambassadors. As His ambassadors, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. Amen. It says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. God pleads with the world through you and through me. What does He plead? Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for He made Him who knew no sin. That's our message. That's our message. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made, might become the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. But let's look at this. It says that we've been given in verse number 18. Go back to that one, Royal. It says we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's for every believer. That's your ministry. That's my ministry. That's an overriding. And so, Pastor, my ministry is prayer. My ministry is children. My ministry is greeting and ushering. That's all right. But overriding all of it is the ministry of reconciliation. We all have that ministry. Amen? Amen. We're all called to that ministry. He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And then it says, And what that ministry is that God was in Christ reconciling the world. Go to verse 19. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing, not counting their trespasses to them. And so that's the message we have. God's not counting your sins against you. You can if you'll receive Jesus, then the slate is wiped clean. Amen? What a good word we have. Amen? That's good. That's why it's good news. I said, that's why it's good news. Amen?
It's the definition of reconcile.
Yeah. Reconcile, it means we're brought back. I'm glad you brought that up. What does it mean? What does reconcile mean? It means brought back into favor. Brought back into favor. See, our sin separated us from God. But what Jesus did brings us back into favor with God. Brings us, God says, I'm not mad at you. God says the war is over. The enmity is is washed away, and you're brought back into my favor. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did. That's what the cross did. That's what His blood did. And that's our message. It's the ministry of reconciliation. He's committed to us the word, the message of reconciliation, that God was bringing us back into favor, opening up the door, like I put on the sign this week. God is not mad at you. Come on home. That's our message. God's not mad at you. Come on home. Come back home. He loves you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And then, so we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. He's committed to us the word, the message of reconciliation, and He's made us ambassadors for Christ. Hallelujah. In each one of these passages that we looked at today, the theme is the same. Number one, you've been saved. Amen. You've been made new. Amen. You've been called out of darkness. Yep. And now you've got a purpose. Amen. You get to join with God in calling others to salvation, sharing the message that if they'll receive it, it'll make them new. It'll lead them out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Amen? And there's as many different ways to do. There's not one set way to do this. There's not one set pattern that, okay, you got to be like this and your personality's got to be like this. And you know, there's as many different ways to do this as there are people. Amen. God wants to use you the way He created you. Amen. I was talking with Pastor Robin Martin, you know, passed away a few weeks ago, and I was talking with Wendy, his widow, the other day, and she's keeping the church going, and she says, I just don't know. This is kind of new to me, the pulpit ministry. And I said, Wendy, I said, let God use you the way He made you. You know, Peter said in Acts 3, Peter said, such as I have, I give you. Give them what you've got. Let God use you the way He created you. She said, that's such a relief. Amen. That's such a relief. I don't have to be my husband in the pulpit. No, you don't, Wendy. You be you. You be the way God made you. You don't have to be. She said, well, I like so-and-so. They're a soul winner. This for you be you. Let God use you the way He created you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a great life. What a great life we have. Amen. What a wonderful purpose we have. Hallelujah. Do you know what you're here for now? Yes. Amen. Let's stand up and praise Him this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just raise your hands and just thank Him right now and just give Him praise. Father, we bless You. Father, we exalt You. We honor You. We bless Your name. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You, Father. Come on, lift your voice with me and praise Him right now. Just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Shele makuri astabre bande. Bronde vasiko meleven bronde boshtele veke. Shele bokotore babashiko meleven garande. Borema misa koria bre bongonda la verrema. Groste ma cambronde le vibre mo costafre mandini. Oh, we bless Your name, Lord. Sobre ma catile evre man. Shele vigre manda le vestogre minde. Bredistego delle bobre acasule vebre banda. Brada da bragosce si le vecu mendaia. Sana vida mene cobare me mendele brago dadini. Rabadiccio delle vecchie delie delle ved gregana. Shalove caramanda de brato tatino moca bombre vigne. Rami ama mana cosa do la ved garenda di bostecaia. Sola va cabronda la ved la mendidi bebre mendaia. Ebre ma combre mende nisce che le vegande. Ene scegande la veda libre mana nabra deia. Soda vigare di mendo deia dedi bostecaia. I hear the Spirit saying this morning. I hear the Spirit saying, there are some of you that are saying, yes, Lord, I hear what is being said today. I hear what You're saying. But Lord, there are things specific about my life. There are things specific about Your will for my life that I still don't understand, that are still not settled, that I'm still not sure which way to go. Follow me in what you've heard today. Busy yourself in acting on what you've heard today, and further light and further understanding and greater revelation will come to you regarding the specific things that I've called you into. I'll guide your feet into the way you are to walk in as you get your feet moving following these things that you've heard this day, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I trust that was for someone today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless You. Father, we thank you. I speak a blessing over your people today. Father, I thank you that this coming week is going to be a fruitful week. It's going to be a blessed week for every one of us. It's going to be a week of increase and blessing. It's going to be a week of progress in the plan of God in each of our lives. We thank you for that. We believe you for that. Thank you for your divine favor. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our lives. And thank you, Father God, for using us to display and reveal your goodness to those who need to see it.
Amen.
Lord, lead us across the paths this week of people that need to know that you're a good God. Of people that need to see your goodness demonstrated. And I thank you, Lord, that you've authorized us to demonstrate that goodness. We praise you for it.